This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. It is a special edition of our Legal Hour with our good friend Kevin Flesh. Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. It's Flesh and Beck Law, fleshlawfirm.com. And always great to have Kevin in. Kevin, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
Man, beautiful weather right now.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you what. This is summer.
It is.
Finally.
Yeah, we're out of the monsoons.
Finally, yes.
Man, we got some good hail the other day, last week at our in the Highlands Ranch, Sedalia area,
yeah.
Castle Rock. I mean, pretty good size hail
out there. Yeah. Everybody needs to check their roofs and everything else. Even if you don't think you have damage, make sure you get somebody out to check it. Because a few years ago, same thing. Horrible hail at our house. I thought we were okay because we had a new roof, and it was supposedly one of those hail-proof steel concrete-coated roofs, and we still had the roof was completely totaled. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So make sure, even though it seems like it's okay, just be sure.
Sure.
But, yeah, everything's good. You know, Saturday morning I was out fishing on Cherry Creek, and walleyes were biting well, so
cool.
Can't complain. So we're in a good pattern right now.
Good deal. Well, today our topic, we're going to talk a little bit about, and you've watched the news at all over the last month, you've seen a lot of this, where we have had a lot of accidents in the rafting industry, and when I say accidents, I mean there's been loss of life. Also, just out on our lakes and different things, different accidents, and so we're going to kind of talk about that today on the show. But so, Kevin, again, we've talked about this before when you sign a release, but there's a lot of rafting companies here in our state, and when you go up and do that stuff, I mean, there is a risk with that.
There is very much a risk.
I mean,
especially in years like this where you have really high water because of all the snowpack we've had and a lot of our river systems, you know, a lot of our river systems function two ways, right? They get runoff out of the mountains and to other states for water. Mm-hmm. And the other is for rafting, for recreational use. And during these times where we have a bunch of snow and you lose the snowpack quickly, you're going to have really big, big water years, and this is one of them. And so that's great. I mean, it's good,
sure.
But you've got to know what you're getting into as well. You know, all of the recreational boaters out there, you have to be really careful about what you're doing this time of year. I looked actually at the flows for the Colorado River at Catamount this morning. They were still up near 4,000 CFS, which is really big. It was 6,000 last week. When I float that river fishing, mm-hmm. We normally like to see it somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 is really good flows.
So triple that, or quadruple that is not very good.
And what happens is with the bigger water, it becomes easier because you don't have as many obstructions, you don't have as many rocks and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And from the standpoint of technical boating, it's much easier for that. But you just have a lot of water, and so it's faster, it's more significant, and you're. When you make a mistake, the river can take you places that you didn't think it could take you. So that's where people have to be careful. And then when you get to professional rafters, those are all folks that are running, you know, Browns Canyon and the Arkansas is where you have a lot of people. We've had a bunch of accidents up on the mm-hmm. Poudre Canyon up near Fort Collins. And it's inexperienced is my guess and with water this size. And it's people going out for a good time. They've signed the waiver, and there's a really good state statute for the rafting companies to allow them to stay in business so that
right.
you waive away all of your rights, and then you're dealing with a natural environment, much like skiing or anything else, where you get into the wrong place, and you know you get your foot held up in a rock bed or something else happens, you hit your head, and you're knocked unconscious, and then you're down the river a half a mile before you know it. And so there are things that everybody has to take into consideration when they're doing those trips. Even though you're going with a professional guide, I've rafted the Royal Gorge when we first moved out here in the mid-90s, and big water like it was this year, and we were with a guide that didn't know exactly what he was doing, and we got into an area that we all sort of said, what do you want us to do? And he's like, I don't know. Or spinning.
That's a comfort.
And that is not a good place to be. But so you do. You just have to. And the thing that I can say to people right now, from a legal standpoint, obviously, it's you have to understand when you sign that waiver, you're signing away everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, 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 very difficult to get around that waiver. And so when you do that, you have to understand that you are taking a risk. And you have to make sure that you're comfortable with, you know, it's like investing in the stock market. If you're going to go on a river trip with someone, you want to look at what they're doing. If the where you show up and where you sign up and you get all your gear and you're doing everything, make sure it seems professional, that they know what they're doing, and that you're comfortable with the section of the river that you're going to be running. When they start talking to you about the level, there's different types of rapids and the right. different levels. Find out, you know, at the particular level the water is going to be running at on a particular day that you go, what it's going to be like, and then you have to make a decision. Is this something that I'm willing to risk? Can be super fun.
Oh, yeah.
They're really, really fun, but in the blink of an eye, it can also be really dangerous.
And I would bet you 75 or 80% of people sit there, they get the little three-minute spiel before you get on. They go, oh, this is a class two, class three, whatever.
Yep.
Most of them aren't caring about that right. or even know what it means, yep. probably, especially people from other states.
Right. Completely agree. But, I mean, even my kids at a camp that they were at a couple of years ago, early on in the season, they were running a relatively tame level of rapids in the Arkansas between Texas Creek down in the lower portion of that basin, and they had a guide flip a boat over, and all the kids were out in the water. I mean, it happens. It just, you know, you just don't know. And so the thing that I can tell people is really listen to your guides as to what exactly they're saying. If that particular situation happens, it was years ago, it used to be that, you know, you'd put your feet up and you'd sort of float downstream. Now the spiel and the safety talks are a little bit different about that. They're now saying, you know, swim to the side of the river as fast as you can. Keep your feet up, because the idea is you keep your feet up so that they don't get into some rocks and you get submerged. Because if the water is, you know, if your foot is caught in a crevice in a rock and you're now facing down river and the river's going over you, you're going to drown. And
sure.
So the idea is to keep all of your appendages out of the lower part of the river, swim as fast and as hard as you can to the side of the river, and just wait for somebody to get you. They obviously have the ability to throw a bag or something like that to you in case something happens where you're in an eddy and you can't get out of it or something else is going on. But those safety talks that they give are given for a reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's really And especially times like this and this time of year, it's the perfect time for accidents to happen. So you just want to be aware of it.
Right.
And keep your head up.
Would it be out of line or would you recommend, like if you go to one of these rafting companies, just to ask them, hey, my guide, what's his experience yeah. level? How long's he been? Because I'm sure they get some turnover in that industry.
For sure.
Just like they do in the ski slopes
yep.
and ski instructors and
yep.
all that. So
yeah, absolutely.
It may
ask
not be
him.
A good...
Especially with the way the water has been this year, it's definitely something that you'll want to ask about their safety record. And they should be very more than happy to tell you about that and tell you about what's taken place in the last week or two. Because we've had big water the last 3 weeks or so. And so those are the instances where you want to find out, okay, the first week with the big water, we had a bunch of accidents. Well, how did the next 2 weeks go? Because your guides should have gotten better with what's going on, and they should have learned the river a little bit more. I mean, you know, they go over and they float these sections of these rivers, especially like Browns Canyon, and they're all named rapids. They're all rapids that they should know about by now, and if they're concerned about any of them, they stop and they scout them. And if you have a guide that's not willing to do that, you've got to ask them why. What's going on? Are you completely comfortable with where you're going? Especially when you get into the class three and a half, four, and down in, you know, the Royal Gorge, they could be even some fives with the way that the water is. And the Royal Gorge, they have and most of the stretches actually, they have a certain volume where they'll say no rafting today right. because there's too much water. And so you just have to be aware of that and just make a good buying decision like you would in any other circumstance. And make sure that you're comfortable, because if you are at all uncomfortable, then you need to walk away, especially because you're signing the waiver, you're giving up all your rights.
Sure.
And it's just one of those things where you don't want super fun thing to do. It's a Colorado thing. Beautiful. I mean, Browns Canyon is one of the most beautiful spots in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also deadly at times. And this is the time of year where issues can happen.
Right. And during those safety talks, I mean, I think about every time we get on an airplane, most of us are
right.
doing other things. We're not even paying attention. But during those safety talks, when you're doing something like that, it behooves you to listen and really understand where the emergency equipment is and all that kind of stuff.
Completely agree. And make sure that your life vest, your PFD is on securely, that you've got it tightened down. I mean, those are really important things so it doesn't, it's not sucked off of you into the river at some point. Because if it's loose and you don't have it on correctly or it's not the right size, especially for people that are smaller, kids in particular, you'll want to make sure that you have a good helmet. You know, all of those sorts of things. And then recreational boaters, you know, it's county by county as to where you have to legally wear a life preserver in the state of Colorado. Eagle County, for example, everybody has to wear them, even for a recreational boater, a guy like myself that has a boat that runs the river. And I have a safety talk, even with folks that I take out in the boat every time that have never done it with me, just to remind everybody, this is where the safety equipment is. If somehow I get thrown out of the boat, what to do. Mm-hmm. If you lose an oar, there's an oar underneath the seat. This is how you open up the seats. You know, if something happens, these are the things that you do. And these are the places that I want you to go to so we'll find you if something happens. And most of the stuff we're running is ones and twos, pretty simple stuff. Sure. But you never know. I mean, you just don't. You just, it's a natural environment, and the river doesn't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, that rushing water is, it's really cool to be on. At the same time, it can be really dangerous. And, you know, you just got to be aware of things. And then to look for things in the river, you know, to look for places where you've got trees, and especially when you have high water like that, a bunch of stuff is moved down river and may get stuck up against some big rocks, and those strainers, you don't want to get in those, and all of the sorts of things to look for to make sure that you're comfortable if something happens. Because if a guide, you know, in one of those boats where you've all got a paddle, you're not rowing the boat, the guide isn't rowing the boat, and you lose the guide, now you don't have a captain of the boat, so you want to make sure someone kind of understands how it goes so that you can get over to the side. So super fun. Running water right now is super, super high, so everybody's got to be careful.
Sure. Again, Kevin Flesh is with us. Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. And I always tell you, put that in your phone. You never know when you may need it. We hope you don't, but if you do, it's nice to have it right there at your fingertips. Right before a break, Kevin, we'll introduce a segment, then we'll come back after the break. But a lot of, like I say, I think there was like 11 big accidents on, you know, rivers, lakes, all the things with just watercraft. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the laws here in Colorado just to make sure everyone's aware of them. But a boat, a jet ski, all that stuff can be very dangerous, same as an automobile.
No doubt. You know, it's amazing how quickly... There's so much safety equipment on new boats these days. You've got the kill switches, whether you've got a tiller, you know, and just a still water environment, you know, you've or regular lakes, where, you know, you're in the back of the boat, you've got this 15-horse motor, maybe small boat. You're like, oh, what can it do? I mean, that propeller when it's running is basically knife blades. I mean, and it can do some real damage to someone if you run them over, for example, or a ski. PWC, basically a personal watercraft, those jet skis and those sorts of things. They may be jets, so they're running water through the system and out the back to create the force to move it. So there isn't as much danger of being hit by a propeller, but they're still 800-pound items.
And they fly.
And they do fly, especially the big ones. I mean, some of the big ones are the 1,000cc machines where you can get a couple people on and you can pull a water skier. You know, they're a lot of weight, and they can really hurt somebody. We've talked on previous shows. I had the situation where I had two jet skiers. One hit the other, a daughter and a father, a couple of falls ago on Cherry Creek. And they can do some real damage to a human being.
Wow.
They just can.
Yeah.
So you got to keep your head about you.
Don't go anywhere. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
David R. Cishan, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets. David is the regional vice president of Householder Group, an independent estate and retirement planning firm. He's been nominated as a five-star wealth manager, an award based on client satisfaction, and is educated on the specific issues and concerns facing seniors today. David has the experience, knowledge, and tools to help you design and implement a strategic plan to pursue your individual financial needs. Call now for your free consultation with David Cishan of Cishan Financial. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Scott Whiteley. Kevin Flesh is with us. Of course, Flesh and Beck Law, fleshlawfirm.com, giving you some tips today. If you're out on the water, and we're talking about boating and kayaking, everything, all your personal watercraft. So, Kevin, just an introduction to this. We almost have to think of being out on the water as if we're driving a car. So many of same laws apply.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one of the bigger things that I see when I'm out on the metro area lakes is people don't understand what the markers are on the lakes. So the buoys that are up around the lakes, they don't know what they are. And you need to know what they are because, for example, in Cherry Creek, the whole south end of the lake, there's basically a line on the south end that south of that line, it's all wakeless boating. And I see people, especially in jet skis, go into that area all the time. And early, I'm out fishing a lot early morning, and there aren't as many jet skis out at 6 o'clock. That sort of crowd comes closer to 9 sure. or 10. But that time of morning, there's a bunch of people out there crewing that they're rowing, and they like that flat water. Well, you get a boat that comes into that area, and it screws them up. And the other thing that I see is when the CPW officers are out there, they love to go after those folks that are in those areas because, I mean, it's so easy to see. I mean, they're sure. past the line and they're going way too fast and creating a wake. And, you know, Cherry Creek, for example, they have a boat out there with regular lights and sirens on it, just like you would in a police car. And so they go tearing after them and shut them down. And then a lot of times they give them tickets and they tell them to get off the lake because they don't. So you've got to make sure that even when you're renting a jet ski or anything, that you know what each one of these markers, you know, you've got the danger markers, you've got the boats keep out, the controlled area. And then you also have in areas where you have like a sandbar or something else. A lot of times there'll be shallow water markers. And again, Cherry Creek is a good example. There's several areas on the lake that if you're bombing across the area over by the marina, there's a huge sandbar there. Now, we've got enough water right now that it may be a couple feet, 3 feet deep, so you may be okay in a smaller boat. But if you've got a big boat, you're going to high center that thing right up onto that sandbar. And I know there's some rocks on it, too. So, I mean, it's one of those things that people just need to be aware of. And it's the same thing wherever you go. Right. There's sort of an international signage, just like when we drive on the roadways, that you need to know what they are. So even if you're over the age of 16 and you're legally able to boat.
Sure. Just like being familiar with our street signs.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly like that. And then the other thing a lot of times in these high congestion lakes is folks that are doing the water sports, the jet skis, the pulling of the tubes or all of those sorts of things, they'll have signage about which way you need to go in the way of where you can go in the lake, mm-hmm. and whether it's counterclockwise or clockwise, so that you are all going in the same pattern. So you don't have people zigzagging and running into, you know, tubers or doing anything that may cause injury to another human being.
Right.
The last thing I think relating just to the signage topic is the fact that in Colorado, when you're water skiing, if you've got a person in the water that's not up on a device that out of the water, skiing or boarding or whatever, everybody's got an orange flag, or they're supposed to have an orange flag in their boat. And when that person is in the water near them, that orange flag is supposed to be up. It can be in somebody's hand. It can be, you know, put on the side of a windshield on the boat. But you've got to look around for those flags, because the person may be 30 yards from that boat. Mm-hmm. And if you get close to them, going at speed.
You, it's hard to see.
Ridiculous.
Reflection of the sun on the water, whatever, and you're flying across. And if you know people are skiing or tubing out there, they could have fell off a tube or fell off a jet ski, whatever.
Completely agree.
You better be careful.
Yeah. And the last thing is what time of day. So the jet skiers can't be out there. I think they have a half hour or hour at both sunrise and sunset that they're just not supposed to be out there. Same for water skiing, because of exactly that reason. Mm-hmm. Those low light periods, it's just really difficult to see anyway on the water to differentiate between a wave and somebody's head.
Sure.
So there shouldn't be people out there, but you got to be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
And then nighttime is a whole nother set of circumstances that we'll talk about. But lights and whether you're anchored or not and making sure people are aware of where you're at is really important, no matter what time of day.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be aware, and especially in Colorado, I mean, we have the huge population boom. We don't have a lot of lakes that people can do any real serious boating on. The lakes that we do have are really crowded. So if you want to go 100 miles an hour on the lake, you have to do it early morning or late evening. And even then, you have to be really careful. Otherwise, just take your time. The lakes aren't that big that you have to get somewhere really fast.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if you're a boat owner, you need to think through some things before you let, when I say just anyone, I mean, we're going to go through some ages here a little bit. But I mean, especially, hey, if it's just a buddy, do you know their experience of driving a boat? Because I was just asking you during the break there, are you responsible as the boat owner?
Yeah.
You let me drive that.
Yeah.
And there is some responsibility.
There is. It's the whole concept of entrustment and what you know of the person that you're allowing to drive it and whether or not they have a history or whether or not they're properly trained. So if that person that you let drive doesn't have any training and hits someone, that person that's hit can be making the claim against them, obviously, for what they did, but also for you for what's called negligent entrustment, saying you should have looked into this closer and you should have made sure that this person was capable and a reasonable person to drive this boat. And if you don't know that, and actually they may have some history that would indicate that they're not very good boaters, mm-hmm. Then you'd be held responsible as well. And a lot of people, you know, what do we have? 20 to 30% of the population doesn't have car insurance. I bet it's at least half that don't relating to boats, probably more than that. So, I mean, the likelihood of, and a lot of times homeowners coverage excludes, you know, ATV use or water vessel use, if you follow the definitions in your policy. But those are all things you've got to look at if you have a boat, whether or not those things would be covered in the event that you're deemed to be negligent in the use of the boat. The other one is, of course, really interesting is people who say they know how to row on rivers. And I've had numerous friends that that suggests that they know what they that they're doing, and then I hand over the oars, and I quickly realize within the first 10 yards they have no idea what they're doing. And when those sorts of boats, I mean, they're not cheap. The boat that I have is a fiberglass boat, so you can't really run into rocks very easily with it and not cause damage, and you become a little concerned for your safety very quickly. It's pretty evident pretty quickly.
Now, a couple things we want to talk about, and then we're going to get into some the alcohol side of things, because that seems to go along with a lot of boating, and we'll bring you up to speed on some of those things.
And marijuana.
And marijuana. Yeah, I forgot about that. So one thing under the Colorado Boating Education Requirements, it says this: anyone under the age of 14 years old may not operate any motorboat or personal watercraft on Colorado public waters. And it's the same thing. I mean, a lot of kids, you know, maybe out in the rural areas, grew up driving tractors. I mean, you may think your child can handle it, and that's not the point.
No.
If they're under 14, you better not get caught letting them drive, right?
You're right. That's exactly right. And it's a state statute. It's just like any other law that we have. It's there to protect the public, and you don't want an individual. You just can't do it. A kid under the age of 14 in Colorado cannot drive a boat, period. And that's what the statute says. Now, obviously, I see people letting their kid, they're sitting in the seat with them, and they're letting them drive, that sort of thing. Well, technically, they're still driving the boat at that point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, most boats have, you know, the control for the engine on the one side in the way of a handle that you push up or down or in reverse, and the steering wheel. A tiller, certainly all you have is just the tiller to run the boat. If they're doing either of those things and have control, they're driving. So you don't want to get into a situation where they're doing that. You just shouldn't be doing it. You're breaking the law, even if you're sitting next to them.
Right.
And I understand everybody wants their kid to learn how to drive the boat, but they have lots of good ability to have boater safety and to do some of those things after they're 14. And it's much like driving a car. They've got a full year to figure that out before they can do it on their own completely. So,
sure.
And between 14 and 15, they're able to, but you've got to have the certification.
Yep. And just like Kevin said, between 14 and 15, they must successfully complete an approved boater education course to legally operate a motorized vessel. And boaters under the age of 16 years must be able to show proof of that education upon request by law enforcement official. And boaters 16 years of age and older are not required to have the boater education to operate the vessel. But you know what? Not a bad deal just to go through and make yourself familiar.
Completely agree with you. And yeah, and you know what? The Colorado Parks and Wildlife have a great pamphlet. It's I pulled it off today. I think it's 40 pages, maybe a little bit more than that. 45 pages, and it gives you all the laws, and it gives you all the things that you need to know. I learned some stuff this morning going through it, and I've been boating in Colorado for 25 years. You know, there's just things that we should reacquaint ourselves with every year to make sure that we're up to date. So that's where everybody needs, when they get their license or you're going in to get your sticker for your boat, pick up one of those pamphlets and just review it in the spring to make sure that you've got everything caught up. And it also gives you the opportunity to go look at your boat, make sure you have all the safety equipment, all the PFDs, the whistle, the fire extinguisher, all the things you need to have in a boat in Colorado, because now when we have to stop and get our boats checked to go into the lakes,
right,
half the time I'm asked if I have all of that safety equipment, and I show it to them. And so if you don't have it, they're going to give you a hard time about it. Just make sure you have it.
And you have to remember, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, those officers out there, they are just as Denver police patrolling our streets.
Just like the State Patrol. They have jurisdiction over those, all of the activities that go on at the parks and the public waterways in the state. And if they feel they have reasonable suspicion to talk with you about a potential law violation, you're in just like the situation we've talked about before with other police officers. You have to think about what you're doing and making sure that at that moment they're looking into it and trying to prove that you've committed a crime. And so you have every right not to make any statement other than giving them ID, or if they ask for some sort of boater education, if your child's under the age of 16 and, you know, and they want to make sure, a lot of times they'll ask for boat registration if they have some concerns about that. And all the things that we'll talk about in the next few segments about under the influence, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great information. And again, we talk about this on our Haystack Help Show as well as Sportsman of Colorado. But while Kevin handles a lot of the criminal side of things, personal injury, certainly the things we're talking about today, if you do get caught up in one of these and get a citation, this is something Kevin can help you with, as well as, you know, game violations, hunting season coming up. Of course, we'll be talking a lot more about that with Kevin. But once again, I highly recommend you put his phone number in your phone, 303-806-8886, and it's fleshlawfirm.com. We got to take another break. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you missed rates being this low before, now might be your time. Lower rates may help you to qualify for your new home or lower your payments and eliminate mortgage insurance. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We've been serving Colorado since 2001, and many of our clients are taking advantage of the lower rates. Most are able to save hundreds a month, all without extending their term. What could you do with $300, $400 a month or more? Pay off debt? Do some home improvement that you've been putting off? With your equity increasing and rates lowering, now might be the last chance to save thousands in interest. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Have you applied for a loan lately? Are you being treated like you're in an assembly line? No one listening? Just talking? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, where we will listen and find the right loan for you, all without the stress. Take AIM, 720-895-0500.
Don't let mosquitoes disrupt your family fun at your next barbecue or keep the kids from camping out in the backyard. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I'm very happy that our outdoor activities have been mosquito-free for the last 4 years thanks to the fine folks at Mosquito Authority. Their mission is to help protect you and your family from mosquitoes and the diseases they carry. And did you know when your dog or cat is bitten by a mosquito, heartworm is one of the most common infections? At Mosquito Authority, they guarantee you won't be bothered by mosquitoes between treatments. And if you are, hey, all you have to do is call. They'll come back out, reassess your property, and if necessary, retreat at no additional charge. No contracts, no commitments, and best of all, no mosquitoes. Call 303-688-2847. That's 303-688-2847. Or visit mosquitoauthority.com.
After an accident, think about Flesh and Beck Law. After your accident, you didn't think it was a big deal. You didn't think you were injured. You didn't think you'd ever hurt that much. You didn't think you'd have to miss work. You didn't think physical therapy would take so long. You didn't think there'd be so many hospital bills. You didn't think that the insurance company would take so long and give so little. You definitely didn't think you'd ever be in this situation, but you are. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. Flesh and Beck have the experience and the knowledge to think about all the details you didn't know you'd have to worry about. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Call today to find out if they can help you.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers KLZ listeners complete pet care services every day, all at one location. It's so much more than a clinic and so convenient. Their expert staff is always happy to help your pet have the happy and healthy life it deserves. Schedule a medical checkup for your beloved companion or take the first step toward a better behaved buddy by signing your pup up for obedience training. Did you know that if your sweet kitty needs grooming, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is one of the few facilities that offers grooming for both dogs and cats. And if you're planning a vacation, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers boarding for dogs, cats, and other small pets so you can take your vacation without worry, knowing that your four-legged family member's home away from home has a fully equipped medical center on site. Learn more about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at LoneTreeVet.com or call 303-708-8050.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Scott Watley. We've got Kevin Flesh with us. I want to thank you for being with us. Talking about safety out on the lakes and rivers, streams, whatever, just on the water. And now we're going to bring in the subject of alcohol and, as Kevin brought up, marijuana now, of course, in our state. And Kevin's talked a lot about that and the increase that we've seen in that as well. And I looked up one thing, Kevin, and it said, you know, do you get drunker quicker on a boat?
Yeah.
And this article said, yes, not everyone realizes this, but when you're drinking while on a boat, you will become impaired more quickly than if you were drinking on land. The effects of sun and heat dehydrate you and leave you feeling drunk with less alcohol. So, again, many rules apply on the streets, on the waters, but let's talk just a little bit about operating under the influence.
Well, and the thing that you and I were talking about before the show, the interesting thing, and you can go to the revised statutes, it's Title 33 is where all of the violations are relating to boating in Colorado. And the interesting thing is relating to the prohibited uses, and that's what we're talking about when you're talking about operating, we would say, a boat. The statute actually says a vessel. And the interesting thing, when you go to the definitions in Title 33 relating to the definitions of a vessel, it does not differentiate between a vessel that has a motor or not. It defines a vessel as every description of watercraft used or capable of being used as a means of transportation of persons and property on the water, other than single-chambered air-inflated devices or seaplanes. Now, there's a lot of us that don't. Seaplanes are easy.
Right.
The single-chambered air-inflated device is an air mattress.
Right.
That's a vessel. But what it doesn't talk about is it makes no differentiation whether you have a motor or not. So
you can be in a kayak, a canoe.
Inflatable kayak. Anything that has more than one air chamber is a vessel. And then under 3313 108.1, it is a misdemeanor for any person to operate or be in actual physical control of a vessel in this state while under the influence of alcohol. So you're in a canoe having a good time with a 24-pack of Budweiser, and you get stopped by CPW for whatever reason, and you seem to be under the influence, you've just gotten yourself a BUI, avoiding
another. And I would just about bet you 100% of kayakers do not know that.
That's true. And, well, yeah. And talking about kayakers in particular, then we've got the issue of under the influence of any controlled substance as defined under Title 18, or any substance under another subsection with in combination with alcohol, and you're under the influence. And so we've got the same issue with the fact that we've got legalized marijuana now. It's still the same argument that they're going to be asking you to do, just like they would in a regular traffic stop if they believe they can prove they have probable cause going through the voluntary roadside, voluntary streamside maneuvers, or lakeside maneuvers.
Right.
If they can prove those things and they ask you to take a test, you need to take a test. And if you don't, then you've got issues. The refusal isn't as important in the sense of you're not losing your driving privilege with a straight-up BUI. So if you don't take a test relating to a vessel, you're not going to be, DMV isn't going to have any problems. But
okay.
I'll give you an example of a case that I just finished where the person was under the influence backing a boat trailer into the water at Chatfield. They didn't actually stop her while she was putting the boat in, but she was stopped another 20 minutes later in the boat. And CPW then sort of triangulated the fact that she had just been on shore with the motor vehicle in the trailer. And they charged her with both, charged her with the BUI and the DUI. And so it became very complicated.
Yep.
When we got into that situation. So it can have both impacts. But if you're just talking about drinking and driving a vessel in Colorado, because most people would think, well, a boat, you got to have a motor.
Absolutely.
And you don't. So it's a very interesting, and to some degree, people would be like, if they're listening, they say, well, why is that? Well, a lot of our rivers, for example, especially the rafting and the other things that people are doing, you need to have your wits about you while you're while you're doing those activities. They're physical activities in the sense of moving a boat from place to place when in rapids and other things, and you don't want to be impaired by anything. The excitement is doing that. You shouldn't be impaired while you're doing it because people are at risk.
So do you have the same, do you apply the same things as far as doing, you know, the breathalyzer or blood test?
Yeah. So, absolutely. So the person that is, stopped, that you're under, arrest essentially and asked to do a test, you have the obligation to do that test relating to either breath or blood. And it's certainly up to the option of the officer. And what I've generally seen relating to these sorts of circumstances is if CPW, if you have an experienced CPW officer, they can handle the DUI arrest as well, as long as they're properly trained. Half the time they're not. And so what they'll do is they'll then call the county sheriff or they'll call the most local law enforcement agency that is trained to come in and complete the breath or blood test. And then you'll be taken into custody after that.
Gotcha.
So, but it's the same sort of thing. And obviously, if you look at the statute, it's one of those things where it can be in any sort of circumstance where you're in the control, physical control of a vessel in Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I mean, I haven't had a case with a canoe or a kayak, but I can imagine under certain circumstances and certainly running any rivers, especially let's say you get into a situation where you have to call law enforcement because someone's been hurt or something's happened on a river today, and they see that you're in a kayak when they show up and that you're impaired, that's going to be a secondary investigation for them, and they probably are going to write you a ticket and have you take a test to figure out what's going on.
Sure. And you got to understand, they're going to be serious about it. I was reading an article this morning, and it said alcohol contributes to about one-third of all fatal boating accidents nationwide. And so they're going to be serious about it.
They are really going to be serious, and especially because we have so many people on the waterways in Colorado and because there's just a volume of boats that are out there, especially in the metro area. If you're in a situation where you're the captain of your boat and you're going to be running that boat at any point during a day, you just don't want to be. And, of course, under the influence is the same standard. So a lot of people will say, well, what does that mean, under the influence? And they're going to be looking towards the driving under the influence sorts of statutes. So 0.05 BAC is probably the legal limit relating to DWAI in Colorado. So if you were driving a car, what does that mean in real terms of alcohol consumption? It's not a whole lot. Depending upon your weight and depending upon what you've had for food during the day, it could
and
be
especially
as little.
Being out, like it said earlier, being in the sun. I'm telling you, if you've never done that, do that for 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
It will drain you.
Especially in our environment where we have no humidity. It's incredible how quickly you can be dehydrated. And what happens when you're taking, let's say it's beer or any sort of alcohol, you know, that your body will take in that water, but it'll especially be affected by the alcohol in those drinks. And so you've got to consider that. And it's just one of those things where it's not worth the risk. But a lot of people do it, obviously. And that's why we have shows like this to inform people that even, you know, let's say you've got a boat, you're not driving the boat, but you've got a two-chamber inflatable kayak that you're out messing around on, and you know one of you falls out and gets hurt and the police are called, the other person that was in that kayak is going to be questioned as well as to what happened and what took place and whether their level of impairment was, if there's some reasonable belief that they've been drinking while using that watercraft.
Sure.
And it's just to keep everybody safe.
And it's also illegal for the owner or operator of a motorboat or sailboat to knowingly permit the vessel to be operated by someone under the influence of alcohol. a controlled substance, any drug, or any combination of these substances that renders that person incapable of safely operating the vessel.
Yeah. So again, that goes back to the same thing. So if you've got other people that are on the boat with you, sailing's a good example. You know, we see a bunch of sailboats, again, on Cherry Creek or Chatfield on certain days of the week, especially because they'll have regattas, that sort of thing. And so let's say you're sailing and you're having some drinks while you're doing that, and you need to pull the main sheet down, or you need to do something with the sails, and you have somebody else covering the helm while you're off doing that, and they're impaired. There's a violation of the law. You just can't do it. Again, you're in a situation, especially with sailboats, not easy to turn them, not easy to make very quick changes in direction, and now you've given up that control to somebody else that's under the influence. Mm-hmm. Those are sorts of things that you've got to be concerned about as the captain of that vessel.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. It's fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. We're going to come back with a few more tips on being safe out on the water. We'll be right back.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back. My name is Scott Watley, here with Kevin Flesh, trying to give you some good tips to keep everyone safe and make the summer fun, as it should be when you are out on the waters here in Colorado. So, Kevin, a couple of things I want to touch on here before we get out of here today. Number one is, you know, let's say you're driving a boat and you hit your own skier, you hit someone out there. A lot of things still apply. I mean, there can be some serious legal issues for you, whether you're impaired or not. Right,
absolutely. So, I mean, certainly if you're acting reasonably under the circumstances and something just happens to mm-hmm. the person that you're pulling or something else, I mean, accidents do happen, certainly on the water, and there's lots of reasons that things can go sideways, and that's why you want to make sure that everybody understands the safety and you're doing the things that you need to do following the law relating to all the equipment. So it's just like any other situation where if a person is injured by your actions, they still have to prove that you were negligent, that you fell sort of below the standard of care relating to the same or similar circumstances of a person similarly situated. That's real a lot of legal garble for basically if you're, you know, for example, you may be pulling a skier. We see this some when we're up in northern Wisconsin. You may be pulling a skier, and there's debris in the lake. There's a log that comes up. Or the particular lake that we're on, they have bogs that will sometimes sit at the bottom of the lake and just spontaneously come up to the top of the lake. And all of a sudden, so you're riding along, and you may have, you know, a piece of ground that's the size of, you know, a 4x8 piece of plywood that all of a sudden shows up. So if you're pulling someone and you don't see that and they go out on the outside of the wake and they hit that, that's not your fault. I mean, that's just part of what mm-hmm. what the activity is. But certainly if you're not paying attention, if you're not listening to what's going on, not keeping yourself aware of what's going on around you and you barrel over someone, that's obviously a problem.
Sure.
You know, it's those sorts of circumstances that we always get back to the fact that, especially in smaller bodies of water that we have in Colorado, you want to make sure that you have a good lookout and that you have time to stop. I mean, boats don't stop on a dime. They just don't. And whether or not you can move the boat to get around whatever the obstruction is, or make sure you're not following too closely so that the boat in front of you, if something happens there, that you don't cause yourself to run into the back of them. All of those sorts of things. And there's lots of experts in boating out there. So if you run into a situation where you do cause a problem or an injury to someone, the question is whether or not you were being reasonable, much like anything else in life. And if you're not, then you're liable. And then the question is how are you going to pay for that liability? What do you have in the way of insurance coverage? What do you have for assets? You know, it all depends on what exactly your financial circumstance is and whether you've been good about covering those sort of circumstances to make sure that you're fairly taking care of the victim of your actions.
Right. And another thing we're talking about during the break here, and we've talked about it a lot of times on our Haystack show, is you decide, hey, I have too much to drink, so maybe you pull your boat over to shore, but yet, I mean, you're just maybe up on a sandbar a little bit or something like that, but it's safe, and you're just sitting there and, you know, the key's off,
yep.
so the motor's not running, maybe you got a line in the water, whatever. CPW pulls up, starts asking you stuff, but yet you're not operating it, you're just sitting there.
Yep, well, so the statute says that if you're in actual physical control, that's the issue of whether or not you're in actual physical control. And what that means and the statute doesn't give you that definition, but I know that in practicing law in Colorado that we have a definition for that in the sense of driving an automobile. Mm-hmm. And basically it's in a situation where you can physically run the vehicle or the vessel. So if there's a key, if that key's in the ignition, a lot of times the boats now have safety equipment so that if you don't have the particular mechanism for the immediate shutoff of the engine, if that's in place like it should be, and you're sitting in the seat where you can drive the steering wheel, or you're sitting in the seat next to the tiller, all of those things would indicate that you're in actual physical control, and you have the ability at any moment to actually drive the vehicle. That's going to be enough for law enforcement to come over to you if they think that you're impaired, if they start talking to you and you have slurred speech and red, bloodshot, watery eyes, you seem to be stumbling around the boat, all of those indications are going to be that you're driving and that you're in actual physical control. And so that's going to be where the defense of you is going to be making the argument that you weren't. And let's talk about all of the facts. Where was the key? Was the boat operational? Was the safety equipment in place so that the engine could start? All of those sorts of things. So if you're in that situation where, and we see it with cuddies, where you have the ability to, let's say, overnight on the boat, you get into a place, you anchor, you turn on the appropriate lights to stay overnight, and then you have a few cocktails. The question is, are you in actual physical control? Well, probably. So the things you want to do to maybe make it more difficult for an officer to say that you could leave at any moment, you know, take out the keys, make sure that the safety equipment wouldn't allow the vehicle, the vessel to be run. Sailboat that you don't have the ability to immediately put up a sail and go anywhere. Right. I mean, those sorts of things, so that factually you can make the argument that although you're in actual physical control, there's no ability to go anywhere, and so that there wasn't the act of actually driving it. And I think you're going to have a better shot in defending yourself in those circumstances, because that's certainly understandable. I mean, we do have big Pueblo Reservoir. The reservoir is outside of Fort Collins. We've got a couple of pretty good-sized ones up there that you could. Maybe you go to a back bay in some of those areas, and you decide you want to stay the night, and you're going to do that on the boat. You know, if you have a big enough boat that you can sleep on, that becomes a whole other set of circumstances and things you want to consider, so that an officer comes over if something's going on, and they're just doing a safety check, just coming over to make sure everything is okay, and you're completely in a situation where you're under the influence of whatever. You want to make sure that they can't make the argument that you're also driving the vehicle.
And kind of same rules, when I say rules, same advice applies.
Yeah.
You get pulled over driving your car, yeah, and they come up to you and start talking to you on your boat. Kind of same advice you apply. That's say exactly as little as possible.
Say as little as possible. You certainly don't have to answer any questions other than who you are. Probably give them some idea of ownership of the boat. So you should have the card that CPW gives you every year when you get your annual sticker to put on the boat. And then don't say anything else. Let them decide what they want to do in the way of their investigation, find out why they're there, make sure that they feel that you're safe and everything else, and let them go about their business. My interactions with CPW, generally speaking, is really good. They're not out there to really give people a hard time, but they will enforce the law, mm-hmm, and they're always looking to see whether you've got the things you need to do, because the laws have been put in place, especially the safety regulations, to make sure that no one gets, to minimize the risk of getting hurt.
So go to their website, I believe it's cpw.state.co.us, and you should print out all of this if you own a boat or watercraft or whatever of any kind. And just to make yourself familiar, as I said, Kevin and I going through this, preparing for the show, learned some things as well.
Yeah,
and
it's really.
And you never know when laws change and different things. Same thing as when we're out hunting, you get the new 2019 big game brochure in Colorado, different things change. And as Kevin started out, even talking about even just knowing the signage on the waters and lakes, because that is up to you to know that, as well as you knowing the street signs, speed limit signs, and all the signs on the highways.
Absolutely. And looking at the 2019 boating statutes and regulations, there were 6 fatalities last year relating to boat accidents. So there's certainly the possibility of those sorts of things happening. And there was 29 reportable accidents in Colorado. 13 of them led to injuries. So,
right.
You know, that's not a number that's in, I mean, you think about all of the boating that goes on, but it's still a something that can happen. So don't do it.
Sure. Well, Kevin, always great information. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560. A lot of great shows coming up, including Mark Griffith. We'll be right back.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.